The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Monday, March 11th, 2024. I am Seth Liebson. Miss Terry is here. Mr. Bill is producing today, pro tem. Young David is off. He'll be back with us tomorrow. So thank you, Mr. Bill. Glad to have you in the pilot seat there. Appreciate it very much. I didn't write a monologue today just based on some busyness this morning, some business and busyness this morning. But on the way in, I was kind of thinking about a few things that I did want to share with you that are in the news that most of you probably already know about. I just wanted to, you know, put it in a context. I was thinking about it. About 3 years before he wrote 1984, George Orwell's 1984, about 3 years before he wrote a then famous essay called Politics and the English Language. Where he said that political speech and political writing were now being deployed, this is in the 40s, were now being deployed to defend what is indefensible. And that could be anything like communist purges. It could have been wagings of war and turning them into statements of liberation. Or relabeling them as wars of liberation. He said, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. And I was seized by that, make lies sound truthful and murder respectable. I was seized by that when I was, as all of you were, watching Joe Biden or having seen clips of President Joe Biden talking to Jonathan Capehart on MSNBC about the use of the word illegal in regard to the killing of Laken Riley. You will recall what happened when he was asked to say her name at his State of the Union speech, and he said that Laken Riley's alleged killer was an illegal. And the left got all over him for that, because for some reason you can't use the word illegal to describe someone who does something lawlessly. Here's just a little bit of that exchange with Jonathan Capehart.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting.
So undocumented to replace illegal, I shouldn't have used the word illegal. Illegal is a perfectly fine word for the description of the person who allegedly killed Laken Riley. He is a Venezuelan gang member who came into the country illegally. For all we know, he actually may have had documents. They may have, in fact, been false documents, or they may have been legitimate documents. The one thing we don't know is whether he was undocumented. The one thing we do know is that he came here illegally. The one thing we do know is that the U.S. Code, Title 8 of the U.S. Code, federal law, speaks of such people, such persons, such migrants as illegal immigrants. In other words, the word is perfectly fine. The man who came into the United States illegally and has allegedly killed Laken Riley, who, let us remember, was a 22-year-old student from Georgia trying to become a nurse, studying to become a nurse. A young girl, whole life and career in front of her, obviously dedicated to helping people, killed by someone who was dead set on committing as much mayhem as possible. Jose Ibarra, by the way, 4 years her senior, part of a deadly gang out of Venezuela. Do you know he was first arrested here for crossing the U.S. in 2022? We had him. We arrested him in 2022. But he was only in custody 24 hours when he was released and given free rein in the U.S. until this past year. Now, you tell me, what was he doing over the last 2 years? Do you know where he was? Do you know where he was hanging out? New York City. Do you know where he was hanging out in New York City? In a shelter provided by the city. So he is living on American generosity, intent on creating as much mayhem in America, ultimately leading to, at minimum, homicide. And Joe Biden thinks it's insensitive to call him illegal and wants to sanitize this person as being undocumented. We actually don't know if he was undocumented. Of course, we do know what Joe Biden and the left means by that. What they mean by that is they don't have properly authenticated papers that allow him to be living here. What? Say it with me. Legally. Say it with me. That's the only point of speaking about documents and being documented or undocumented. Anyone can have any kind of document. The question is, are they legal documents? And if you don't, then it is illegal. The idea that he wants to, as I say, sanitize this term to appease the left, because in what, this house, no person is illegal? Give me a break. Give me a break. Of course, that's simply not true. And that's why I kept thinking about that haunting line in George Orwell's essay about how the use of political language these days is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable. This is it, folks. This is it. When we say make Orwell fiction again around here, we're not just talking about 1984. We're talking about the use and abuse of language. In that essay of his, George Orwell's, he says political speech and writing are largely the defense of the indefensible. And if you think about the kinds of things we talk about here routinely, the kinds of things that rankle the American sensibility routinely, think about the use and abuse of language. Speech is violence. Violence is mostly peaceful. Peacefully and patriotically marching is insurrection. Sex changing is gender affirming. Keeping hands off a body is actually making laws to allow clinicians to operate in the body. Color blindness is racism. And discrimination is anti-racism. Voter suppression, speaking of Georgia, means more voters voting. And Build Back Better means what? Higher gas prices for your car and food? Food shortages for your babies? Shortages of medication? And it leads one to understand when you abuse the language this way and make it the defense of the indefensible, you can see the thinking in George Orwell's line of thought from, what, 1946 to roughly 1949 when he wrote his essay to when he wrote 1984. You do recall how 1984 opens, do you not? War is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, in the same interview, speaks of threatening Israel, our ally, with a red line. Think about that. He's sanitizing the language of a homicidal illegal alien to make him sound more respectful or respectable or less guilty while he's using the language that he used to use for the enemies of the United States, for the allies of the United States. If you think things are upside down, it's because they are. And if you think Joe Biden is part of some form of moderacy within the Democratic Party, all you have to do is look at this weekend's interview on MSNBC and see that whatever he thinks, he is in the vice grip of the left. And the Democratic Party is as well. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, coming to you live from the 960 Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. 960 is hosting an event, Fighting for Freedom, March 26th. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher. He and I and Brandon Tatum will all be on stage. We'll have some other special guests as well, doing some talking and Q&A with you about the things most important to us in the election, seeing what you think about those issues and how we should think about them and how we should talk about them. I'm curious right now as to whether your thoughts are as to if this is going to be a close election or not. I happen to think that it will be, though it shouldn't be. And it will be because of the power bases that are fired up against common sense. I don't even really want to say conservative anymore. You okay? What's the matter? What'd you do? I saw you smack your hand. It happens. Okay. Welcome back. Fine. One of them should be the Laken Riley case. Bill Malugin just put out that Border Patrol has announced the arrest of 5 child sex predator illegal aliens in 5 different sectors of the border over the weekend. 5 child sex predator illegal aliens. If someone were to ask Joe Biden about that, would he say, "I prefer the term undocumented"? He probably would. He probably wouldn't understand why he has to say undocumented, just that he has to say undocumented. It's very, again, 1984-ish, where you are forced to say things you don't believe. On this point, I want to shift it just a little bit to something our friend David Marcus was doing on social media on Twix over the weekend. Many of you know David Marcus. He's a regular guest on the Megyn Kelly podcast. We visit with him about once a month here. I think he comes on maybe once every couple of months. He's a writer for a lot of different outlets. Very smart. And he was writing about race over the weekend. This is another thing, his point. This is another thing that has been brought up from the dead. He said something fairly simple, of course controversial, because it's so true. But he said over the weekend, Generation X knows what we did with the race issue. We did it on the race thing. We got nobody to give a you-know-what anymore. It was 1998, and everyone was pretty much fine. We had it. It was done. It was fixed. The racism issue was purged from American life. As an institution, as a respectable essence, you had to search far and wide and high and low to find racist statements from anyone had heard about. Is he saying there was no racism? No. Is he saying there were no hate crimes? No. He was saying the issue of institutional racism was ended. Which is why the Democrats invented the notion of implicit bias. Implicit bias, first time I ever noticed the use of that phrase, was by Hillary Clinton. the invention of the phrase implicit bias is kind of like dog whistle, the use of the phrase dog whistle. It's not anywhere evident. It's not anywhere tangible. It's not anywhere palpable. It's not anywhere identifiable. You just happen, because you're on the left, to know it exists, or think you know, or want to pretend you know that it exists. When someone says something you don't like, I don't know, about making America great again, let us say, or American sovereignty, that's a dog whistle, they will tell you. That's a dog whistle to the past. That's a dog whistle of racism. What's a dog whistle? Something so high-pitched only a dog can hear it. In other words, nothing anyone can actually hear, apprehend, or understand, which is to say, anything can be uttered and claimed to be a dog whistle, just as anything can be uttered and claimed to be implicit bias. What is implicit bias? Not evident. We are told that white people carry implicit bias. This was the whole Robin DiAngelo thesis, that no matter how you were born, no matter what family circumstances or economic circumstances you were born into, if you are white, you carry implicit bias. There was an older word for that sort of thing. It was called prejudice. That was really what the word for it was, when you said someone thought something because of their race. But anyway, David Marcus was trying to pull the Band-Aid off the nonsense of this, what would you call, assault to the body politic, by saying, you know what, we had this. This was done in 98. That's why we got all these phrases like implicit bias. That's why we got all these phrases like dog whistle, because people couldn't let racism go. This is how we got DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I was thinking about this on something John Hinderocker wrote over at the Powerline blog. He asks, are all DEI officers bigots? He writes, I think the answer to that question is yes. In reality, the whole point of DEI is bigotry. So the fact that its exponents can keep getting outed as hated is not at all coincidental. The latest case comes from Johns Hopkins, where the chief diversity officer at the medical school has resigned after it was found that she had been publishing hateful outbursts, including her guesstimation, her estimation, her say-so, that the privileged groups in America are, she wrote, white people, able-bodied people, heterosexuals, cisgender people, males, Christians, middle or owning class people, middle-aged people, and English speaking people. You would think this covers almost everyone in the United States at this point. The only non-privileged are apparently the handicapped. Is that the right term of art these days? Abled, bodily disabled, whatever the phrase of art is, I'm happy to use it. And Muslim illegal immigrants, I suppose. That's all that's left after that long list. But she says privilege is characteristically invisible to people who have it. It's a powerful thing to be able to point to something nobody can see. It's a powerful thing to live in an era where everyone is an emperor with no clothes on. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, 602-5089-60. Feel free to call in with whatever is on your mind. It was a lot going on this weekend news-wise. I ran through a few things that struck me of interest. There was a third thing. And it's a bit uncomfortable because it puts us in the position, at least I should say it puts me in the position, of not agreeing with much of the movement's leadership right now. And that has to do with efforts to cease and put out of existence the social media app TikTok. over the weekend, there was a flurry of conservative spokesmen, including Donald Trump, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Kellyanne Conway, and Rand Paul, saying that it was a bad idea to ban TikTok, as Mike Gallagher is trying to do in the House of Representatives, as Josh Hawley is trying to do in the United States Senate. Rand Paul is doing it for probably different reasons than Ramaswamy and Kellyanne Conway. Rand Paul says he believes it would be a violation of the First Amendment. I believe he's wrong. I believe the courts have showed that he's wrong. The efforts to put a stop to TikTok aren't really efforts to stop free speech. It's efforts to stop espionage. We have a right to do that. We have the right to stop espionage. We have the right to stop coercion. We have the right to stop emotional, mental, and social pollution. We have those rights. Those are not protected or purely speech-protected elements deserving First Amendment countenance. I believe he's just wrong about that. A little bit too libertarian for my tastes. I believe others, based on what I know of the China lobby, and we'll talk to Brandon Weikert in the third hour a little bit more like about this, others are probably on the payroll of lobbyists on behalf of China. I think it's worth reminding ourselves, as we talk about youth mental health, as we talk about foreign policy, defense policy, and all the postures combined, it's worth reminding people about TikTok. Mike Gallagher, Congressman Mike Gallagher, not the radio host, the congressman, has probably done some of the best and yeoman's work on it. In a piece in the Free Press a couple of months ago, the FP.com, he was asking the question, how is it that so many American youth hold so many morally bankrupt views? TikTok is not just an app teenagers use to make viral dance videos. Sure, it does some of that. A growing number of Americans are relying on TikTok for their news. It is the top search engine for over 50% of Generation Z, and 60% of Americans are hooked on the app before they even turn 17. And that's its own problem, but exponentially problematic is that it's controlled by America's foremost adversary, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is Chinese. And in China, there is no such thing as a private company. As if to underscore the point, ByteDance's chief editor, Zhang Fuping, is also the head of the company's internal Communist Party cell. Let me say some more about this when we come right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. I was listening to that promotion of Seb Gorka's, where he called Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a buttercup. What does he say? Hey, buttercup. And I was thinking, what a funny phrase. Hey, buttercup. He's being sarcastic, I suppose, in that it's, I guess, an old school form of endearment, but in its old schooledness, I suppose one might say, it's now become inherently or implicitly sarcastic. But what is a buttercup? It's a flower. Obviously, we know this. Buttercups are flowers. But they had to have been named after something, which was much like a buttercup, right? What was a butter cup? Did we used to put butters in cups?
Do they resemble a cup of butter? I don't understand.
I don't either. I have no idea. We churned butter. We had butter dishes. I don't think I've ever heard of a butter cup. Maybe it's a British thing. That song, Why Do You Build Me Up Just to Take Me Down? It's by The Foundations, which was, I think, a British band. So maybe there is, maybe it is all a buttercup, build me up just to take me around. Okay, you know the song. I'm not going to sing it, obviously. It's not obvious that I'm not going to sing it. I could break into song at any moment. But anyway, maybe it's just chiefly British. And of course, Seb Gorka comes to the English language through the Queen's English. So maybe that's what it's from. I don't mean to spend too much time on it. It's just fun hearing him call her a buttercup. I haven't heard anyone called buttercup in a long time. What am I going to, Mike? Okay, yeah, let's go to Mike real quick. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Seth. Long time no talk to.
It's nice to hear your voice, sir.
Interesting you're talking about talk. I was just thinking about that. I heard some information. You know, I keep up with stuff like this. If I'm not mistaken, past President Trump tried to keep TikTok, if I'm not mistaken, from doing business in the United
States. Yes, he did.
And of course, I think people went wacko.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't do any social media.
Yeah.
And people just don't realize it's bad enough our government is already keeping track of us with certain ways, how they do it.
Yeah.
Let alone a foreign government, the Chinese, who are our worst adversaries.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just finishing up the book Biohacked by our great friend Brandon Weikert. What a book.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how people just don't realize what's going on out there with these types of things.
It is to me, too. When he was president, he did try to ban it. He called it a national security threat. He tried to do some of this through executive order. He detailed how it is an outlet of the Chinese Communist Party that is used not only for espionage but also for censorship, and it's unfortunate that, you know, he's having second thoughts about it. It's equally unfortunate that we have to fight with some of our more conservative friends on this front. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Mike. I guess we have to first and foremost understand how very powerful the CCP is, and in understanding their power, it's not just the military power, and it's not just the hardened ideology they operate under, and it's not just the suppression of their own people that fuels and animates them. It's their economic power here in the United States. I mean, you think about, for example, how we couldn't even have NBA general managers stand up simply enough for the people of Hong Kong without the, you know, Chinese government weighing in on the NBA and telling these general managers they had to put the quietus on it. They had to apologize for standing up for the people of Hong Kong. I'm thinking of Daryl Morey, for example, in Texas. And then, of course, you have outfits like Nike, right? You have these that do business not only in China, but depend on China and slave labor to market the goods. And so they're going to cover up for them, and they're going to cover up for them in the place that they do the most business, which is in our professional athletics. If you are a movie maker, if you are a Hollywood in the business of making movies in Hollywood, it's very hard to make a movie that does anything critical of China, not only because they won't then air it there, but because a lot of the money that is used to finance these movies comes from China. It's fast becoming, I don't mean to overstate it, but it is fast becoming a big brother.
I mean, what about Space Force? You know, the previous book that Brandon wrote and I read, people don't realize the Chinese, they're our biggest threat. Yeah, you got Russia and the others, but China, like in his books, they want to control the world. There is no doubt about it.
It's eerie to me that when you have China doing this and you have TikTok as its, shall we say, frontal assault or infantry, that you also have an activated left in our education system that's doing the same thing. And it's odd to me equally that they think we're the ones. They think Moms for Liberty. They think conservatives want to ban books and distort history. It's really odd that they have in their engagement to do precisely that, in their engagement to precisely censor our language and our speech. Does anyone remember why Elon Musk bought Twitter in the first place? Does anyone even remember why that happened 2 years ago? Because of the censorship of the left. And yet we, for some reason, are on our heels or on the defense about engaging in banning books and engaging in censorship. You know, my biggest battle when it comes to censorship is, frankly, it's nowhere to be found on the right. Can you show me a liberal book that is not available for purchase or reading anywhere in this country? You cannot. But I can show you conservative books. You ask Abigail Schreier how easy it is to get her books. You ask Bethany Mandel how easy it is to get her books. They won't put them in school libraries. And Amazon makes it especially difficult. It's even hard to find publishers. That's book banning. Anyway, it's all very Chinese Communist Party, Mike. I was going to say it's all very Chinese. That's not accurate. You know, I think of the Chinese the way Ronald Reagan thought of the Russians. Good people under the vice grip of a tyranny. It should be our effort to be trying to liberate them. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They have a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where you can earn up to 10.25% fixed rate of return. And it's not correlated to the Federal Reserve or the stock market. With YRefi, you are in control. You can turn your income on or off. You can compound it, whatever you like. With YRefi, there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. And, of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. You can visit them in person. They are headquartered here. Their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. You won't be asked to sign anything. You'll never get a sales pitch from YRefi. They leave that up to me. If you don't see them in person, check them out online. InvestYRefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then R-E-F-Y.com, or call 888-YRefi. 24 888 YRefi 24. Steve is in Phoenix. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Seth. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Doing well. Such a beautiful day in the Valley of the Sun.
Yes, it is.
So, you're talking about the Chi-Coms, and I've read an article recently, again, how more insidious it is they bankroll and run all these illegal pot farms all over the country, thousands of them. Just a small 40-acre farm can produce millions and millions and millions of dollars in revenue, and they're taking profits, and they're taking that and just pumping it right into buying land. So they're taking over our land, poisoning our kids. All these kids have gone into these schools and shooting everybody up. They're all pot addicts. I mean, They're hitting us from every side.
Well, if you think about where the precursors for fentanyl come from, that's also originating out of China. Now, it is true that cartels have figured out how to become less dependent on China and synthesize and make the precursor and build the precursors south of our border themselves, but originally also from China. And still, I believe, the majority of the precursors, less and less, but still the majority. It used to be the totality, still the majority. So there's a lot of poison being put out by China, and not all of it comes from Wuhan. In fact, the least of it might have come from Wuhan. How did Hugh Hewitt put it on Twix today? The bill to ban or force the sale of TikTok is moving rapidly through Congress, but it can't move fast enough. Call poison control, I mean Congress, and urge they end the CCP's hold on users of this malign app. Poison control. It's pretty funny, but it's pretty apt. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.